Luke chapter 10. You know, I love, I don't know why and how this became a tradition just on my ends, myself and my own studies, but I love looking at Martha during the time of Christmas. I do. I just think Martha is a good picture of Christmas, of Thanksgiving, especially Christmas. You got a lot of family coming over. You got a lot of people coming. And the story I'm talking about is where Martha houses Jesus. Could you imagine Jesus coming to your house? Like in the natural. I mean, I know he's there. Don't get me wrong. He lives on the inside of me. Where I go, he goes. I bring the presence of God wherever I go. I love that. But Jesus manifesting in the natural, just standing there in front of you, going to teach, going to preach, going to do all this. But you even have a heads up that he's coming. Do you know my house would be a lot cleaner right now if Jesus told me he'd be there by 12? And also, we would be winding down this service now. Because if Jesus told me he's going to show up in the flesh, he's going to show up manifested, I'm going to be able to see him with my physical eyes, there's going to be a lot of preparation. I'm probably going to even call some of you up to help me clean. But like, get over here, I got a lot to do. We're going to wipe down the baseboards. Now, I grew up in a military home. You cleaning was not wiping things down and vacuuming. That was just vacuuming. Most people, they're like, I'm going to clean. I'm just going to vacuum and straighten up. That was not cleaning in my house. I grew up that you had to scrub the once a week. You wipe down the baseboards. You wipe down the cabinets. You cleaned everything. You scrubbed the toilet. You used ammonia. Oh, what some terrible stuff. Some of you still know what it is to use ammonia. You didn't have this nice smelling blue junk or the disposable brushes. You know, it's so nice, it's so clean, everything is sanitary. You had to use a nasty, filthy brush that had all the diseases on it and, you know, just stains and stuff. And you never touched it. You just kind of got it wet and just shook it, tried to get it all off. Nasty. But we didn't have all the stuff that we do right now. Thankful for innovation and moving forward. We didn't have a mop. You know, Mom got kind of a mop thing after we left the house. But while we were there, it was a bucket, a scrub brush, and a rag. And it was on your knees. On your knees. That's how we clean the floors. And once a week, we did this. Once a week. And if Jesus was coming over, my house would be immaculate. My children would not be living on the premises a week before Jesus showed up. Because if you're going to clean and they know it's time to make a mess. I don't know how they know, but they sense it. It's in the air. They pick up on it with their children's antennas. And they know, let's bring out the puzzles. Let's bring out the stuff that has a million pieces. They're vacuuming. And so it's dumbfounding. It's dumbfounding to me. But my house, if I knew Jesus was going to show up in the natural, I'd be busy. I'd be a lot more busier this last week than I was. I would have it better. Now, you know, I have people like Pastor Tim and Rena who comes over. If you're wondering where they are, they have missed the Lord and they are in Mecca today, Green Bay, for the game. They're actually there for the game today with their kids. None of us is jealous. None of us is envious. We're very thankful for our brothers and sisters. When someone gets blessed, we're blessed too. We celebrate with them. But anyway, and so in all of this, you know, they come over all the time. And, you know, in the beginning, I'd clean like crazy. We'd clean. And it just got to a point where they'd come over and be like, I'm tired of pretending we're cleaner than what we are. This is the way we live. You know, I'm tired of this front that I'm putting up. We are not this clean. This is the cleanest our house has been in 2 weeks. Because you're here. And in the beginning, I got all their jackets and would hang them up. I would get the cups out of the cupboard and get them. And Pastor Tim and Rena loves hot tea, so I'd have everything on. And now I just look at them and say, you know where the tea is. You know where to put your jacket. You've been here enough. Your family, you practically live here. This is now your house, your blood of my blood, flesh of my flesh. We're family. Make yourself at home. When Jesus comes up, Mary had a lot of work. Mary had a lot of work. She did a lot of work. Let's just read. Let's read. Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village and a certain woman named Martha. Everybody say Martha. Received him into her house. Whose house is it? It's Martha's house. Why has Jesus even got a place to sit and eat? It's Martha. Martha gets a shaft. I don't like that Martha gets a shaft. When people preach about Martha, they're like, Martha, 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 Martha. And they always slam Martha. Martha gave the man a place to sit and eat. She didn't even give him a bill for the food. And she paid for all his disciples to eat and everybody that came over to eat and her sister to eat as well. She took care of the bill. Martha took care of the space, had enough space, had a house big enough to support all these people. And as theologians believe, Martha was one of the largest supporters of Jesus. She supported the ministry. By all accounts, she was well off. Big house, able at the whim to be able to supply for a lot of people. Martha had her stuff together. Now, verse 39, and she had a sister called Mary. Everybody can say Mary, but not as excited as you said Martha. Mary. Martha, Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard the word. But Martha was cumbered. Have you ever been cumbered? I have. I get cumbered. I do. And can I tell you when I get cumbered? I'm telling on myself this morning. I get cumbered when I have people who come over and enjoy everything, but then they don't do anything. Now, don't get me wrong. If it's your first time, I'm not going to bother you. But if you come over a lot like Martha and Mary, that's Ken. So Mary's been over a lot. Mary knows all the work. She knows the vacuuming. She knows the scrubbing. She knows the cooking. She knows the dishwashing before we had dishwashers. You were the dishwasher. She knows all the hard work that comes with entertaining. And she's sitting, enjoying all the fruits of the labor of what Martha has done. I feel Martha's pain. Because that causes me to be cumbered. I don't mind. If you're my guest, I ain't going to ask you to clean dishes. I ain't going to ask you to do any of that. But if you've been over at least 25 times, it's time to get up and help a little bit. Put your own plate away. Maybe rinse it. Maybe even just ask. I will probably say no. But then again, I might say yes. But at least give me that option. None of you feel bad. I have not thought of this about most of you. No, I'm just kidding. And so she's upset. Martha is upset. And she comes before Jesus and says, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister left me alone to serve? Bid her. See, basically what happened is Martha got to a point where she said, Jesus, because see, Martha could have told Mary off. Martha could have went to Mary. But Martha wanted it to be more powerful because in Martha's eyes, she was right. And I personally believe she was right to a degree. She was right, but maybe her heart behind it was a little wrong. But she was right. And she wanted it to come from, because the Lord was going to agree with her. Have you ever wanted to talk to somebody about your problems with the other person because you knew they were going to agree with you? What you needed, I've had Jesse ask me this, what do you think about this? And I'm like, you don't want my opinion. You want your opinion in a deeper voice. You don't care about my opinion at all. Like there's times that she says, where do you want to eat? I want to eat here. No. I want to eat here. No. This is the worst. Here are choices. I want this choice. No. Then why was it a choice? Because I didn't think you would choose it. Then why even put it in there? She doesn't want my opinion. She wants hers. It's a multiple choice test. And I get it wrong almost every time. Because I like meat more than I do vegetables. Amen. Thank you. And so in this, Martha didn't really care about Jesus' opinion because she automatically thought Jesus agreed with her. And is this not religion? We don't care about Jesus' opinion because Jesus obviously agrees with us. We don't even go to Jesus about it. Because Jesus agrees with us, and we want to bring Jesus into it so that the other person hears it out of a different voice. That's our opinion. Martha could have went to Mary and had a conversation privately with Mary. But she didn't. She wanted Jesus to agree with her. I think it probably shocked her a little that Jesus didn't agree. I think it probably shocked her. Now, again, I am not giving Martha the shaft. I think Martha did a lot. This would have never even happened if it wasn't for Martha. Martha made it all possible. Martha made it completely possible for Jesus to speak and teach, not only to Mary and Martha, but the rest of the clan. Everybody there. The whole crew. The whole posse. Whatever you want to call them. Whew. So, the reason why this brings me to this point is because we entertain. How many of you have people come over for Christmas and Thanksgiving, or you actually go over to someone else's house for Christmas or Thanksgiving? That is the majority of us. And there are people I love, I just don't want to go on vacation with. Thank you for agreeing with that. Yep, some of you are like, I understand. I love them. And I hang around them. But there comes a moment that for us to stay on good terms, we may need to take a break from each other. We may need to love somebody from afar. And so getting together, it always makes me think of Martha wanting to tell Mary what to do. Can I tell you something else that makes me encumbered? When I see my mama prepare and do most of the work, and everybody sit on their butt and not help her afterwards or even beforehand. That tears me up. I can't handle that. I will say something. And some of it may be godly and in point. And some of it may be like, hey, we need to help grandma. We need to help mom. We need to pull together and take the load off of her. We're here at her house. She cooked the main meals. She provided, 75-80% of everything that's here, cooked-wise, food-wise. And if we took the house, electricity, water, all this, it would be in the high 90%, 95-97% that mom made this possible. And then when everything's done, we just sit at the table, look at each other and laugh, enjoy each other's fellowship. How about let's do that after we're done with the work? And it may sound nice like that. And then sometimes it may be like, Mom, you need help in there? Saying it loud and obvious. Right. And some of it may be sarcastic. Hey, wasn't that good food? Yeah. I'm glad you didn't have to do anything for it. Isn't that awesome? Can I have your plate? I'm going to take it up to the dishwasher. What? Oh, yeah. You can start washing them by hand. Yeah, because it's full. Yeah. Why don't you do that now? Yeah, get up. So it may be real nice. It may be sweet. It may be sarcastic. It may be a whole lot of stuff. But it makes me encumbered when I see somebody doing all the work and everybody else just enjoying the fruit of the labor. Even though it's hard. Got to tell you something, if you've ever cooked a whole Thanksgiving meal or a Christmas meal and hardly anybody ever did anything, that is work and it takes all day long. It takes forever. I mean, just to even to thaw the turkey takes hours on end, and then it takes hours on end to cook it. It's a lot of work. And so I understand Martha. I get Martha. I associate with Martha a lot. And what happens a lot of times is when you are the one who gets things done, do you know what the reward for doing a job well done? You get to do it again. You get to do it again. You get elected. You get elected to do it again. You get elected to do all the planning, all the cooking again because you did such a fantastic job last time. You get the same job again. And now this is in the business world, but it also is in the church world. 80% of the people, free ride, while 20% does the work. I believe it's actually worse in the church, because most stats in the church says 2 to 5% of the people in the church do the work, while the rest just come, show up, and leave. And that includes giving. Tithe and offering. 2 to 5%. Actually, 4 or 5 years ago, it was 2 to 3%. We've bumped up. There's growth in the body. We've bumped up to 5%, possibly. Now, I'm glad to say that in our church, it's much, 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 much higher. Much higher. I'm very thankful of that. So thankful, because you got it on the inside of you. You're workers. You're doers. And so, but this is what happens when you are a doer. A lot of times people will perceive you wrongly. They will say you're self-interested in your own self, in your own deal. They will say you ignore other things because why? You're focused. You're focused, but also in your focusness, a lot of times you can get burned out because you don't recognize that you need to sit at the feet of Jesus. Because I'm going to tell you something, it's important to be doers and workers. We wouldn't be able to do what we do without you. But we also have to be a master of our schedule. Because if we're not a master of our schedule will be a master over us. And so we have to take time to build our own self up. We have to take time to pray in the Holy Spirit. We have to take time to go to life group, even though all we want to do after a long day of work and all that we've done, I just went to church. I just gave. I've just served. I worked on the soundboard. I worked in the children's church. I cleaned up. I was on the praise and worship team. I've done all these stuff. Now all I want to do is relax. And yes, you do need time for relaxing. I think everybody needs to take time for themselves to a degree. But we have to balance it. And we have to see the importance of forsaking not the assemblies of yourself together, especially in the latter days. And you Yankees have it easy. And when I say you Yankees, I include me in that. You want to know why? Because I am now a Yankee. I'm a transplant. From south of the Mason-Dixon line to north of the Mason-Dixon line. I am now a Wisconsinite. My blood has thickened. I do not enjoy the heat as I used to. Go back down there. I'm like, why am I sweating in December outside without a jacket? This is not right. This is not God. And so, in all of this, our southern brothers and sisters go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday minimum. Minimum. The south goes to church 3 times minimum a week. Minimum. Not including everything else. And we struggle going to church on a Sunday morning and going to a life group 2x a month. And we will look at all that we have done and become self-focused because we relate to Mary and we're doers. When there's times we have to fellowship, it's important. Can I tell you something else? And when you do the fellowship, you'll get something out of it. And in the beginning, that may be 100% why you go to life group. But there will come a point where you grow up and you begin to see, I have something to give for my giftings to operate. I need to help my brothers and sister rise up, not only with those who've been in the body longer than I have more wisdom, be able to bring me up, but I will be able to grab their hand while I'm being pulled up, pull someone else up. It's about your giftings to the body. Why is it so important that you're here on Sunday? Because you bring a supply that only you bring. We need you, and I will tell you, I covet the giftings that you have on the inside of you, the God that lives on the inside of you. You bring a perspective that only you bring. You bring a worship that only you bring. Do you understand what worship does? It breaks chains. It sets people free. It causes the plan of God to rush in people's life. There are people who contemplated suicide that in a service before the pastor ever stood up, decided to stay on this earth because God moved in the service. And the reason he moved is because people showed up to worship. And yes, our focus may be up here at the front of the praise and worship. But the majority of the people that felt it got something out of it. It was because the person beside them worshiped. And God inhabits the praises of his people. And if he inhabits this person's praise, guess what? The person beside them gets the feel. And sense the very presence of God that's inhabiting this person. God does nothing that he just blesses one. He does something that overflows and blesses the other. Because you worship, because you bring your supply, you'll cause someone else to get blessed. You'll cause someone else's life to turn around. That's why it's important that you're here. That's why it's important that you're in a life group. That's why it's important that not only the people up here do it right, but the people right here do it right. It's more important for this section to praise than it is for this section to praise. It's more important that you show up and give your supply, because it sets those free. There are people who will walk in this place that don't even know how to explain it. There's something here. There's a friendliness. There's a freedom. There's a peace. I don't even know how to put it into words. You did your part. And God is true to His word. When you praise Him, He inhabits it. Mary provided a place for Jesus. He showed up. He ate. He fellowshipped. Now, what we can't do is get so focused on what we're doing and not wondering why everybody is not championing us, cheering us on. Why so-and-so don't see the importance of what I do? Why does more people not do what I'm doing? Why is not more people helping me? It is important that people help. It is important that people get involved. But if you become so self-focused, you got to do the work. You got to work. But yet there's times you got to sit at the feet of Jesus and recharge and build yourself up. Dishes can wait today. That bill, I can pay that later tonight online. I really need to decorate for Christmas right now. I haven't even got started. But you know what? I just sense that I need to be with the Lord right now. It's important that we sit at the feet of Jesus like Mary. And it's important that we do the work like Martha. But we have to balance and do both those things. And so during this Advent season, don't lose focus. Don't get so internally focused about what you're doing that you forget to charge yourself up, edify, and show others the agape love of God. Let's go before the Lord in prayer this morning.